We are going to be doing the 87th Psalm. If the 87th Psalm is particularly poignant given the fact that next Monday will be Yom Yerushalayim. And this is actually a song about Yerushalayim. We have several such mizmorim. This one is a brief one, but a complex one, and appropriate to the day that we celebrate the reunion of Yerushalayim in 1967. For those of you that remember that and lived through it, you remember what a thrill that caused for all Am Yisrael in all of the places where they were at, and what a revival that instigated at the time in terms of Jews that were unidentified, Jews that were unaffiliated. It really caused a spiritual, almost a volcano. However, sometimes we become complacent for the great miracles that have occurred in our lifetimes and take it for granted. And every so often we need to get a kick in the head to find out that there's nothing to be taken for granted. So we're going to look at this mizmor, and as I indicated, it is a complex one. See, I've divided this in the way that many of our mefarshim do, primarily by using the word selah. So we have verses 1, 2, 3 as one stanza, 4, 5, 6 as another stanza, and then 7 as the denouement, or as the climax. The words themselves individually are not that difficult, but at the same time, making sense of this is not so easy. There are moderns who argue that this is nothing more than a collection of little ditties. I don't even bother presenting who it is that says this. I know they call themselves scholars, and it's published in scholarly journals. But sometimes the more radical and crazy the idea, the more it seems to be publishable. There is virtually nothing to indicate that at all. The fact that they can't seem to make sense of it is another story. But I will share with you that the translations are very complex, and they're very complex for a very good reason. First of all, we have as follows. We don't know for sure what actually the contents of this mizmor is. What are we actually saying here? Furthermore, we have several sentences that are hard to decipher. What are you actually saying, and to whom are you referring? I will give you an example from the very first verse. Livnei Korach mizmor shir. For the sons of Korach, or by the sons of Korach, or dedicated to the sons of Korach, because the Lamed can indicate authorship, Le David, sometimes. It can indicate that it is a direction given to Bnei Korach, how they should sing this song, because Zemer, as I told you in the past, indicates some sort of melodious playing of instruments. But it is also called a shir, which means that it is also lyrical. It has words to it. So that in itself is not that important, if you like, regardless of who the author is. But now we're told Yesudato, not Yesodo, its foundation. Yesudato, it was founded by a hymn. And who's the hymn? And where was it founded by him? Beharerei Kodesh, in the holy mountains. So I will share with you just two examples of translations that struggle with this. Bury and study Bible. Just look at the very beginning. A psalm of the sons of Korach. He has founded his city on the holy mountains. He being God. They've already decided that. Founded his city, though it didn't mention the city at all, did it? On the holy mountains. New Living Translation, just for one, two examples. That's all I'm giving you here is. And it tells us as follows. On the holy mountain stands the city founded by the Lord. Now it's become one mountain. They skipped the whole thing about our psalm on the sounds of Korach because they couldn't make sense of it. And they indicated that it stands, the city, which is not mentioned in the first verse, founded, Yesudato, by the Lord. You get the idea about how difficult this is. So we will look carefully and see what our Mefarshim are telling us in the process. Here we go. We have three major views. Number one, Yesudato, the founding of blank, the city, by him. And they say that this is a reference to Hashem, as you saw the first translation. And it is comparable to what we heard in Shirat Hayam in the 15th chapter of Shmot. Tivyemo v'titaemo behar nachalatcha machon l'shiftecha pa'alta Hashem. You brought Am Yisrael and you planted them in the mountain of your plot, your inheritance, a place you chose to dwell in, that God you did. Others say Yesudato, as you saw, is the foundation or the founding of Tzion. Tzion being both the city, the suburbs and the city, or just the mountain of Tzion. Some say the foundation is not of Tzion, and it is not of the house of God. It is rather the foundation of this song. And now the question is, Maze Harerei Kodesh? It doesn't say Hara Kodesh. Not one mountain, but the mountains, the holy mountains, the plural. What are we referring to then? Clearly we are talking about Yerushalayim, Shehi, and this city is Harim Savivla. She is surrounded by several mountains. By the way, we read in Kuf Kafei in the 125th Psalm, Kehar Tzion lo yimot leolam, like the mountain of Tzion that will never falter, never fall. Yerushalayim harim savivla. Yerushalayim is surrounded by mountains. The Hashem saviv le'amo. And Hashem surrounds and protects his nation. It is true that the city of Yerushalayim is surrounded by mountains. Perhaps that's what it means. Others tell us something completely different. We know from another mizmor, Esa enai elehe harim, me'ain yavo ezri. I will lift my eyes up to the mountains, from whence comes my help. And I am not referring now to physical mountains, but to mountains as images of leaders, of patriarchs from which we came. So to some, Harei Kodesh stands for our forefathers. I will lift my eyes to them and I ask them to intercede on our behalf. From where will my help come? And if that's the case, we would say, Yesudato Beharei Kodesh. The foundation of both this poem, of the city, of the nation, is in the holy mountains, meaning the patriarchs and matriarchs from which we came. That is where this city was founded. They are the ones that are ensuring our continuation. Comes Sforno and slaps us in the face and tells us, Harei Kodesh, it is not the holy mountains. For if it would say holy mountains, we would say Harei HaKodesh. If it says Harei Kodesh, it means the mountains of the Holy One. And that should come with a hey, meaning the one and only Holy One. And Kodesh here is stami. It is not a definite article. If that's the case, says Sforno, do you know what Harei Kodesh are? They're tofsei Torah, the grabbers of the Torah. And he does not mean this in a positive way at all. He means people who have become leaders of the nation, who seem to believe that they are now holy, and they are multiples as opposed to one mountain, and they are the Tofsei Torah, and he is referring, and actually sends us, to a very important verse in Yirmiyahu. before the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, the first Beit HaMikdash built by Shlomo HaMelech. Yirmiyahu the prophet foretold both its destruction and the loss of the entire sovereignty of Am Yisrael and their dispersion to Babylonia and elsewhere. And there he prophesied in the name of God to HaKohanim, to the priests, Shelo Amru Ayei Hashem, the priests who held on to their power but were not interested and never asked, where is God? Tofsei HaTorah, those that grabbed on to the Torah. He means the scholars, the self-important scholars who quarreled with each other, who were so right and needed to be right, and each of them is right and everybody else is wrong. Lo yeda'uni, said God. They were not interested in knowing me, says Hashem. They were not interested in loving me. They didn't care. What does God want? It's only, what do I think? The haro'im, pash'ubi, and the shepherds, he means the political leaders, they sinned against me, holding on to power for their own self-gratification, forgetting the job that they were sent to do, and that is to care for Am Yisrael. The hanivim nibu babal, and the prophets, the so-called prophets, they prophesied in the name of false gods like the Baal. Ve'acharei lo yo'ilu halachu. And as a result, my nation, Am Yisrael, went after the useless, the incompetent, something that would do them no good, for they followed leaders whose only interest was their own power. I refer you to none other than Sforno, who says that this is not yet a song of celebration. This begins with a lamentation. A lamentation saying that this is a mizmor shir whose foundation that made me sing this is what I saw. Beharerei Kodesh. Those that are at the top, high up, in power, whose interest is the self-perpetuation of their power, be it economic, be it intellectual, be it political, but in fact, people who are egomaniacs and less interested in subjugating themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as a result, says Sforno, comes the second verse to indicate a contrast. God does not love, he says, Hararei Kodesh. Instead, Ohev Hashem She'arei Tzion. God loves the gates of Tzion. What are the gates of Tzion? You saw this in the book of Ruth, which we will, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, be reading in Chag HaShavuot, where Boaz comes to the Sha'ar. The Sha'ar stands for the place of Beis Din. In Beis Din, the Dayanim need to make decisions. It is not, says Sforno, correct to simply go and try to indicate what is your position, what is your position. Finally, somebody has to make a decision. And there are rules, acharei rabim lahatot, the majority rule. Somebody has to make a psak haloche and determine what is the verdict, what is the sentence, and stop fighting and come up with a legislative decision. The legislative decision does not have to be truth with a capital T. It has to be something which the people can live with. And sometimes it requires compromise. Ohev Hashem She'arei Tzion. God loves those who finally, not lumdis, not another decision, not my way or the highway, but those who can become the decisors of halacha. Ohavei Hashem She'arei Tzion. Mikol Mishkenot Yaakov, from all of the Mishkenot. And here Chazal agree with Sforno's position that Mishkenot means the Batei Medrash, the Batei Knesiot, the various schools, whether it's Hillel or Shammai, whether it's Litvish or Hasidish, whether it's this machloikas or that machloikas, that's fine and dandy. You go your shul, you go my shul. I'll daven nusach Sfard, you daven nusach Ashkenaz. But what God loves more than anything else is finally those who can decide what works for the entire nation. She'arei Tzion. Those people who can then make a decision. He is referring, interestingly, not to what occurred at the end of Bayit Rishon, but what ended up at the end of Bayit Sheni. At the end of Bayit Sheni, which is why we have Sfira, we had Talmidim, Talmidei Chachomim, we had great scholars, we had people who loved Torah, but also loved my way or the highway. Velo nahagu kavod ze baze. And they did not show any respect for a alternate position, not recognizing that Torah, shivim panim la, has 70 faces, 70 facets like a diamond. It is not flat out. True, lehalocha, you finally have to make a decision. But you have to also respect another's viewpoint, even if finally we have to decide which way we go by. And as a result, the Ribbono Shel Olam loved the deciders, the Beis Din, the Piskei Halacha, more than all of the pilpulim, all of the various argumentations. And it was because of that argumentation, the argumentation of the tzedokim against the prushim, against the isim, against, if you like, the early Christians, against those who wanted to read the Torah this way or that way, when they could not finally decide on what was the proper decision to be made, that God does not love. Ohev Hashem She'arei Tzion, Mikol Mishkenot Yaakov, He loves them more than all of the other Batei Midrash, all of the yeshivas, all of those put together. And She'arei Tzion, the gates of heaven, Tzion, which is the place of the Sanhedrin, of that we can now say, Nichbedot medubar bach. And now comes the praise of Yerushalayim. Nichbedot medubar bach has become an idiom. When you want to speak about a girl who is in shiduchim, and they send out her shidduch resume, or people describe her, we say, Nichbedot dibruba. They speak praise of her. In her honor, they praise her. We are now speaking about Tzion, and Tzion is both the collective of Am Yisrael and another name for Yerushalayim. You are now, once we've decided on a Sanhedrin, on one king, we can then speak about Nichbadot Dibru Bach. They spoke of great praise about you, Jerusalem. Il ha'elokim sela, the city of God, or the city of Dayonim. Sometimes the name Elokim is used to signify those who make the decisions, the great poskim. And so in this particular one, based on Sforno, we have anger finally merged into great praise, for Yerushalayim was the place that unified Am Yisrael from 12 tribes, from various factions, from various sects, ultimately to become unified in the city of God. Comes our second stanza. And the question is, who is speaking? Askir Rahav Ubavel Leyodai. I will remind those who know me, those who love me. I will remind you of Rav and Bavel. Mi hamedaber, who is speaking in this case? To some, this is Hashem talking. To some, it is our poet who is talking. To some, it is Melech HaMoshiach who is speaking. Askir Rav Ubavel Yodai. To those who know me, who love me, I will remind you of Rahav and Bavel. Rav is a name for Mitzrayim, and it means arrogance, because Paro said, Mi Hashem, who is God that I should listen to him? Or in the words of a prophet, he said, I made the world and I made myself, said Pharaoh. That arrogance, that sense that you are subjugated to nobody, he wants to remind you of Rahav and Bavel. In other words, nations that once were empires, do you remember what happened to them? Those great cities, those great civilizations, where are they now? Hine Pleshet Vitzor Im Kush. Look, here it is. There are the Philistines. There is Tyre, the city of Lebanon, together with Kush, another name for Ethiopia, but once a great kingdom in northern Africa. Ze Yulad Sham. This one, he was born there. Who is the this one that was born either in Rahav or Bavel or Peleshet or Tzor or Kush? This is the big question that we have here. I explained to you that it's very hard to decipher several of these verses. To whom are we referring here? This one was born there. To the Medrash, it says, if you want to go through all of those great civilizations, remind me, who was a person that one could say came from there that made a difference to the betterment of humanity? Pray tell me. What can you say that Rahav produced and say, ah, he was born in Rahav, or he was born in Bavel, or he was born in Peleshet, and he made a difference to the betterment of humanity? Remind me, tell me, who do you know? Ulitzion ye'amer, but for Tzion, of Tzion you can say, Ish ve'ish yuladba. One by one, if he's a mensch, if he made a difference to the betterment of humanity, he was born there. Ve'hu? And that man, Yechoneneha Elyon, God will see to it that he will establish the city. In other words, no one of major import that made a difference to the betterment of humanity came out except from one place, Tzion. Says Rabbi Shimshon Refael Hirsch, oh, I know great Jews that were born in Poland, in Spain, in Russia, in America. No, Tzion is the collective of Am Yisrael. One by one. And if he isn't a Jew, one could say he came out of Tzion. He came out of Tzion. For out of Tzion, ki mitzion tetze Torah, udvar Hashem miYerushalayim. For Tzion would be spread across all of the world. And if that person made a difference to the betterment of humanity, I will count him as Ish Ish. Ah, he must have been born in Yerushalayim, or at least his soul was. Hashem yispor b'chtov amim. God will count. He will count in the writings of the nations. You see that guy over there? You see that good man over there? They're countable. Am Yisrael can't be counted. But the good ones, Chasidei Umot HaOlam, those people who have a mark of morality in them, a mark of something greater than their own self-satisfaction, their immediate gratification, and sought to do things for the rest of the world, God will count them when Birvot HaYamim, in the end of days, then he will count them as the people who will be part of Am Yisrael and will not be eradicated in Milchemet Gog u'Magog. And he will say, Ze Yulad Sham, this one here, this one also, he was born there, but he's one of mine. Hashem will even count remarkable goyim that were decent people to be counted amongst the children of Avraham, Av Hamon Goyim. He too was born there. And as a result, Vesharim Kecholelim, the singers will join together with the flutists, Michal Khalil, with those who played the flutes, or with the dancers, Mecholelim. Machol is a word for dance. The singers will join with the dancers when B'Yemot HaMashiach, and will sing the following songs. Kol Ma'ayanai Bach. All of my fountains are in you. And that's one pirush. According to some pirushim, Ma'ayanai comes from the word Ma'ayan. All the springs of wisdom, of spirituality, all come from Yerushalayim. So all monotheistic religions were born in Tzion and Yerushalayim. All sources of wisdom that God has granted came from Yerushalayim. That is one source. The other comes from the word Einaim, Iyun. All of my eyes, my protection, my providence, my concern is for you. My only concern, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, is Tzion v'Yerushalayim. To others, Kol Ma'ayanai Bach, is all of the springs, and springs being a symbol of Torah that quenches the soul. All the springs come from there. Malbim says no. Ma'inei HaYeshua, the springs of salvation that will save all humanity, will come out of Yerushalayim.